By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. But if it was of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah عز وجل. You are watching Rise and Shine. Today's topic, my dear viewers. Well, to find out what the topic is, you'll have to wait and stick with us, because first, as we always do, we begin our day by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Let's begin this day too by listening to the Quran as well as the translation. Make good intentions, for the more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain. Inshallah, Azza. Also, please do remember that it's just generous. If somebody was talking, and for you to also be speaking is considered disrespect, isn't it? Now, this is the Quran, Al-Kareem, Adivyus of Madinah. This is not just anybody's words, no. The Quran is the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst this is being recited, whilst the Quran is being recited, it's showing respect to the Quran, Al-Kareem, is to pay attention, to listen to the Quran. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Maybe it was, so as the Quran is being played, let's give our attention to the recitation of the Quran. Let's listen to the Quran along with the translation. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
فلولا كان من القرون من قبلكم اولو بقية ينهون عن الفساد في الارض الا قليلا ممن انجينا منهم واتبع الذين ظلموا ما اترفوا فيه وكانوا مجرمين.
تو کیوں نہ ہوئے تم میں سے اگلی سنگتوں یعنی قوموں میں ایسے جن میں بھلائی کا کچھ حصہ لگا رہا ہوتا کہ زمین میں فساد سے روکتے، ہاں ان میں تھوڑے تھے وہی جن کو ہم نے نجات دی، اور ظالم اسی عیش کے پیچھے پڑے رہے جو انہیں دیا گیا اور وہ گناہگار تھے.
وما كان ربك ليهلك القرى بظلم واهلها مصلحون.
اور تمہارا رب ایسا نہیں کہ بستیوں کو بے وجہ ہلاک کر دے اور ان کے لوگ اچھے ہوں.
ولو شاء ربك لجعل الناس امة واحدة ولا يزالون مختلفين.
اور اگر تمہارا رب چاہتا تو سب آدمیوں کو ایک ہی امت کر دیتا اور وہ ہمیشہ اختلاف میں رہیں گے.
الا من رحم ربك ولذلك خلقهم وتمت كلمة ربك لأملأن جهنم من الجنة والناس أجمعين.
مگر جن پر تمہارے رب نے رحم کیا اور لوگ اسی لیے بنائے ہیں، اور تمہارے رب کی بات پوری ہو چکی کہ بے شک ضرور جہنم بھر دوں گا جنوں اور آدمیوں کو بلا کر.
وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
اور سب کچھ ہم تمہیں رسولوں کی خبریں سناتے ہیں جس سے تمہارا دل ٹھہرائیں اور اس صورت میں تمہارے پاس حق آیا اور مسلمانوں کو پند و نصیحت۔
وَقُلْ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ اعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنَّا عَامِلُونَ وَانْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ۔
اور کافروں سے فرماؤ تم اپنی جگہ کام کیے جاؤ، ہم اپنا کام کرتے ہیں، اور راہ دیکھو ہم بھی راہ دیکھتے ہیں۔
وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ فَاعْبُدُهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ۔
اور اللہ ہی کے لیے ہیں آسمانوں اور زمین کے غیب، اور اسی کی طرف سب کاموں کی رجوع ہے، تو اس کی بندگی کرو اور اس پر بھروسہ رکھو، اور تمہارا رب تمہارے کاموں سے غافل نہیں۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔ ریویوز من شلدی recitation of the glorious Quran Surah Hud. Allahu Akbar, 123 verse number. And within Surah Hud, there are only 123 verses. And we're now on the 12th part of the Holy Quran, yes, meaning today we have completed Surah Hud. This chapter has come to a close. Allahu Akbar. This is what? The 11th chapter of the glorious Quran. And remember, I did used to mention all the chapters, but I think I've kind of forgotten them myself. Chapter number one, my dear viewers, inshallah, we listened to was Surah Al-Fatiha. Then we listened to Surah Al-Baqarah. Then we listened to Surah Ali Imran. Then we listened to Surah Al-Nisa, the fourth chapter. Then the fifth chapter, we listened to Surah Al-Ma'idah. And then the sixth chapter, we listened to Surah Al-An'am. The seventh chapter, Surah A'raf. Then the eighth chapter, Surah Anfal. And the ninth chapter, Surah At-Tawbah. And then the tenth chapter was the one just before this, Surah Yunus, we heard about. And the 11th chapter, this chapter, my dear viewers of the channel, which we have just completed today, is Surah Hud, the 11th chapter of the glorious Quran. The next chapter. And yes, that's the story of that person is also mentioned in this chapter, is the chapter of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. So the chapter name is Surah Yusuf. Yes, Surah Yusuf is chapter number 12. Surah Yusuf, my dear viewers of Madan Shah. My dear viewers of Madan Shah, we are going to move on to the Najshif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Let's listen to the Najib inshallah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
حقیقت سے تمہاری جز خدا اور کون واقف ہے، کہے تو کیا کہے کوئی، چنی تم ہو چنا تم ہو چنا تم ہو، اے ختم رسل مکی مدنی کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں، اے ختم رسل مکی مدنی کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں،
اے ختم رسل مکی مدنی
کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں
مجسم تیرے سوا
اے نور مجسم تیرے سوا
محبوب خدا کا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
اے نور مجسم تیرے سوا محبوب خدا کا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
اے نور مجسم
تم سا کوئی نہیں تم سا کوئی نہیں
تم سا کوئی نہیں تم سا کوئی نہیں
سارے اچھوں سے اچھا سمجھیے جسے ہے اس اچھے سے اچھا ہمارا نبی
تم سا کوئی نہیں تم سا کوئی نہیں
سارے اونچوں سے اونچا سمجھیے جسے ہے اس اونچے سے اونچا ہمارا نبی
تم سا کوئی نہیں
سب سے اول سب سے آخر ابتدا ہو انتہا ہو اے وسیلے سب نبی تم اصل مقصود خدا ہو سب تمہارے در کے راستے ایک تم راہ خدا ہو
تم سا کوئی نہیں تم سا کوئی نہیں
آصاف تو سب نے پائے گئے
آصاف تو سب نے پائے گئے
پر حسن سراپا کوئی نہیں
پر حسن سراپا کوئی نہیں
آدم سے جناب عیسیٰ تک
آدم سے جناب عیسیٰ تک
سرکار کے جیسا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
آدم سے جناب عیسیٰ تک
سرکار کے جیسا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
اے ختم رسل مکی مدنی کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
اسی آقا مداوا کون کرے
اسی آقا مداوا کون کرے
اے رحمت عالم تیرے سوا
اے رحمت عالم تیرے سوا
دکھیوں کا مسیحا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
اے رحمت عالم تیرے سوا دکھیوں کا مسیحا کوئی نہیں
کوئی نہیں
کوئی نہیں اے ختم رسل باقی مدنی کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
ہو جائے اگر ایک چشم کرم
ہو جائے اگر ایک چشم کرم
محشر میں ہماری لاج رہے
محشر میں ہماری لاج رہے
شافع محشر تیرے سوا
شافع محشر تیرے سوا
بخشش کا وسیلہ کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
شافع محشر تیرے سوا بخشش کا وسیلہ کوئی نہیں
کوئی نہیں
کوئی نہیں اے ختم رسل باقی مدنی کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
یہ شان تمہاری ہے آقا
یہ شان تمہاری ہے آقا
تم عرش بری پر پہنچے ہو
یہ شان تمہاری یہ شان تمہاری یہ شان
خلیلو نجیبی بڑی شان والے کلیم و مسیح بھی
کہلا
عرش سے بھی جو آگے وہ سلطان کل انبیاء آپ ہی ہیں. جس جا کوئی پہنچا نہیں پہنچا وہاں تلوا تیرا.
یہ شان تمہاری یہ شان تمہاری یہ شان تمہاری یہ شان تمہاری
یہ شان تمہاری ہے آقا. تم عرش بری پر پہنچے ہو ذیشان نبی ہے سب لیکن معراج کا دولہ کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں.
ذیشان نبی ہے سب لیکن معراج کا دولہ کوئی نہیں
کوئی نہیں.
اے ختم رسل باقی مدنی کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
کوئی نہیں.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah Azzurra. We just listen to the narrative of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One thing I would advise, that make in the narrative, make some, this something regular you either listen to or, because, and the reason I mentioned this, because the reason I mentioned that, dear viewers, is that sadly, especially in this country, many other countries too, we are surrounded by music. We're completely surrounded by music. Many times people in our own houses are listening to music. People in our street may, you know, be blasting, as you would say, music, have music on very high volumes. This is something which is worldwide. It's worldwide, my reviews on the channel. People listen to music. And then if we were to go to places, even if we were just to go to the shop, sometimes there would be music. Even in our own schools, and maybe in the library, there's some sort of music being played. Especially during the time of year, depending on what that may be. There's music. Sometimes, yes, going to shops, whether that be local stores, local supermarkets, or whether that be clothing shops, you're going to buy some, purchase some clothes or something. You know, music will be on. We are completely just surrounded by music, my dear viewers. Sadly, we are completely surrounded by music. When we go into our cars, so many people play music. It may be brothers, sisters, it may be relatives. If you're sitting in a relative's car, just, you know, everyone's playing music. But then, even if, let's just say, okay, we're not to play music, we're just to put the radio on. Even on the radio, there'll be so much music. Even on the radio, there will be music. So wherever, but on the television, whatever other channel most likely we're on, if we are ever on another channel, music, my dear viewers. There's always sounds, isn't there? There's always music being played, whatever it may be. So, ever since we were young, we were surrounded, and it was a norm, as if everyone had to listen to music. As if everybody had to listen to music. We had iPods just for music. You know, so many devices just for music. And many people were brought up always listening to music. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we can't just say that, look, I know many people have experienced, you know, I've experienced this myself, you may have experienced it, that when you're so used to something, you can't just give it up like that. For example, music, when you're always listening to it, and then you just stop fully, you just stop listening to it. So then it becomes very difficult. You think, oh, I want to listen to some music. So it's not easy to just stop it like that, but you need to replace it. If you replace it, then you wouldn't even be able to tell that, oh, you know, I'm not listening to anything, because there's something else to listen to, something permissible to listen to, something to replace it. What is this to replace it? The Naat Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Naat Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this is a good form, not really music, because remember, by the way, Madhav, it was, there are some people who they call it a Naat Sharif and they praise the Prophet, but in the background they have musical instruments being played. Remember, this is not permissible. What is actually impermissible about the music is the musical instruments. Remember this. SubhanAllah, we've not spoken about music in a very long time, but that should be a topic, inshallah, which we will cover very soon, inshallah. But the point to be made here is what? That listening to the Naat Sharif, when you love it, when you begin to enjoy it, when you understand it, honestly, you'll be like, what do I need music for? Really, that music, all they do is talk about women, all they do is talk about money, all they do is talk about luxury. It's just a waste. It's just wasting my time. And in fact, many people who listen to music, it's also a cause for depression. Music is also a cause for depression. Why? Because as we said, many times, what do they be talking about? They be talking about either women, disrespectfully, they be talking about what money, they be talking about luxury, houses, cars, wealth, isn't it? Or even guns or whatever it may be. And some people think, oh yes, these people have everything. And I want that, but I have nothing. So this is also a cause even of depression, my dear viewers. But alhamdulillah, listen to the Naat Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naat Sharif is a complete opposite. It is a cure. Listen to the Naat Sharif. In your cars, play Naat Sharif. Especially for your children. Or play the Quran. Or the Quran al-Kareem. Quran al-Kareem. Or, you know, that's fine. Sometimes people, okay, they've listened to some Quran, they wish for something else. Then Naat Sharif, and we find so many, you know, now mashallah, these days, Dawat Islami, the amount of Naat Sharif, we've just listened to one. So in a different manner, in a different way, separately recorded, beautifully. This is for all of the views, inshallah. And you can mostly find all of these kalams on YouTube, etc. So play these sort of things for your children. And one thing you will realize, that just the way, you know, even young babies, they'll react to anything. If you put music on, they'll react to that. If you put Naat Sharif on, they'll react to that. But what do we want them to react to, my dear viewers? We want them to love Naat, the Naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So please try to bring this about in our lives. And look, for example, weddings. Many people, they play music. No, now's the time that, you know, when we have weddings, play the Naat Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And mashallah, many people are beginning to do this. We should do it too. It's the Islamic ceremony, isn't it? Why? Some people think we have to listen to music, but that's another topic. Listen to the Naat Sharif. During weddings especially, play the Naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if it was, what is today's topic? The topic is perfect manners. Now, nobody's perfect. This is what we all say. Nobody's perfect. We are insane, aren't we? You know, we forget, we make mistakes. We sin, don't we? You know, all of the, well, remember, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're completely free from sin. But other than the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are protected. But otherwise, we all commit sin, don't we, my dear viewers? So we commit sin, we make mistakes, we always forget. Allahu Akbar. Nobody, who can be perfect? Nobody's perfect. But then, my dear viewers, inshallah, it's not only this. Along with this is, okay, not forgetting, you know, being good, not committing sins, etc. But then there are still some things which may not be a sin, but they are not considered to be, you know, good things. We've experienced this many times. Sometimes, you know, you may be eating. I don't know why foods come to mind as soon as I think of it, but there are sorts come to mind, food. So you're eating possibly, and then there's another person eating, but the way that person, you know, cleaning their nose, it may be, and then they're using their hands, or the way they're eating. You know, you sometimes, you know, in life you come across many people. You think these are bad manners. And suddenly it puts you off from eating, doesn't it? That's food. It may be other things. It just may be generally they don't keep themselves clean. It may be somebody they are yawning or coughing that, you know, so loud and they're not covering their mouth. You know, it's completely normal to cough. We're not saying, oh, you know, only perfect people don't cough. No, it's completely normal to cough. But when you cough, it's part of manners to do what? To cover your mouth, my dear viewers. When you are yawning, it's part of manners to cover your mouth. Don't be, you know, I won't mention what I was going to say. Your teeth, you need to brush your teeth every single day. you know, a person, when given salam, a person should be clean so that people wish to shake their hand, so that people wish to give them a hug. Cleanliness, my dear viewers of Muslim Islam. Just manners in general. There's so many things that people do and you think, you know, it puts you off. It puts you off. And generally, you know, especially nowadays, people do emphasize the importance of manners, etiquettes, which things you should do, which things you shouldn't do, things you should keep away from. You're not going to go picking your nose. No, I'm having TV right now. I would never pick my nose right now, would I? Not that nobody ever does, you know, pick their nose. Sometimes you have an itch inside. You may not even be picking your nose. Sometimes you have an itch, so you'll touch it. That's fine. Washing your hands after going to the bathroom. Many people, sadly, they go to the bathroom, they don't even wash their hands, and you're thinking this is something you teach babies to do. Something you teach children, the first day they go to the toilet, or even potty training, whatever it may be. You tell them, okay, now you need to wash your hands. You need to flush the toilet, and now you need to wash your hands. Some things are just simple manners. Sometimes it's obvious. Some things you do, some things you don't do. Some things just you do not do, my dear viewers. So there are good manners, there are bad manners. And then there is perfection. And as you say, nobody's perfect. But we can make an exception, my dear viewers, to this. Because there always are exceptions, aren't there? Firstly, it's all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are perfect. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are free from defects. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the greatest. They are the greatest of all people. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some prophets who have a greater rank than other prophets. Remember, there was around about 124,000 prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some were greater than others. Some had a higher rank than others. Some are famous, some are rusul, some are messengers too. There's some who have been mentioned in the Quran. And even from amongst all those, then there are a few who are even more great. And if you were to take a look at all of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's one who is the imam. The imam of all of the prophets. There's one who is the leader of all of the prophets. There is one, my dear viewers of Muslim Islam, who is a khatam, who is the khatam al-nabiyyin. He is the seal of all prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one, my dear viewers of Muslim Islam, due to whom the rest of the prophets were even created for his sake. Who? The last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is that individual about whom we shall be questioned. We shall be questioned too, yes. This is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shall be asked about this. We shall even be asked about it in the grave. There are three questions in the grave, aren't there? Who is your Lord? Ma dinuk? What is your religion? What did you used to say about this individual? About this man? Who is this man? This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the question here, ma kunta taqool? What did he used to say, my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah? What did he used to say about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So this is a question, in fact, to be asked. That how often do we speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? With our family, do we speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If we do speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are the things we say? What are the things we say about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Subhanallah, he's the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind. And I pray that inshallah, in the grave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the ability to say this. When inshallah, one day we shall all die. And when I die and I'm asked that question, I love to give this answer. He is the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He who possessed all the perfect manners, he who was of perfect character, the most beautiful, the most beloved, He who is praised each and every single moment all around the world, my dear viewers of Madinah Inshallah. And he who had what? The best manners. He who had the best of character. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed the best, perfect manners, perfect character. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states within the glorious Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And the translation from Kanz al-Iman is, and indeed you possess an exemplary character. An exemplary character are the words used, subhanAllah. This is a translation of the Kanz al-Iman, was written by Allah Hazrat Rahimullah Ta'ala in the Urdu language. And this is a translation of that, my dear viewers of Madani Town. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possesses the best of manners. He, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has the greatest of all manners, the greatest of all etiquettes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself states, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I was sent for the completion of the greatest and the best of all manners. For good manners, to complete good manners, to show people what good manners are. The manners and etiquettes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that many a times, this is not only once, my dear viewers, this is more than one occasion, we find that sometimes somebody was sent, sometimes a person was sent, he was sent to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or sometimes he himself would go out in search for the truth. They themselves would go out in search for the truth. And they would think, I wish to find the true religion. What is the true religion? So they would go to one place. They would not be satisfied. They would move to another place. Then they would go to a third place, a fourth place. And then one person says that this, you know, he hears about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he thinks, these are the signs of the last prophet and messenger. Let's see if he possesses these signs. Honestly, many. And this, for us as Muslims, is just so beautiful. Alhamdulillah, we're lucky to say that this was our Prophet. This was our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we love him so much. This is who we believe in. This is who we follow. He possesses the best of all manners, the best of all etiquettes. In fact, we were speaking about washing the hands, being good manners. And since when did people start to wash their hands? It's probably been not even 100 years. Not even 100 years, possibly. I'm just thinking, what year is it now? Okay. Possibly not even 100 years, my dear viewers of Madinah, when people used to relieve themselves and not wash their hands. Whereas 1400 years ago, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized the importance of washing our hands, emphasized the importance of washing altogether. Of performing ghusl, performing ablution. Allahu Akbar. That's how long ago Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us these manners. How lucky are we, how blessed are we to say that we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people from the West say, oh yes, and in the West it teaches you should do this. Now doctors, what are doctors told to do? Doctors are told, don't only just wash your hands. Why? Because when you wash your hands, and then your hands, if you've not dried them properly, etc., then the water comes down to the tip and all the germs may be in the tip. And then if you to begin to eat or something, then the germs will go into the food. And many doctors are advised that when they wash all the way up until the elbow. This is what they advise, wash all the way to the elbow so that it drops from there. And as Muslims, we were told within the glorious Quran to wash our arms. We were told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the method of ablution, you must wash your arms all the way and including your elbows, up to and including your elbows. Alhamdulillah. So, you know, we sometimes think, oh yes, in the West, these are Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the good things. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught us way before, 1,000 years before, Allahu Akbar, over 1,000 years. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who brought true civilization to the world. Allahu Akbar. And that's absolutely beautiful, my dear viewers of Madinah. Let's move to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib. الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صدر الأفاضل حضرت مولانا مفتی سید محمد نعیم الدین مراد آبادی رحمت اللہ تعالی علیہ writes under the آیات فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ He writes in تفسیر خزائن الحرفان that dhikr is of three kinds. One is lisani, dhikr which is performed or done through one's tongue. And the second kind is qalbi, meaning dhikr which is performed or done through one's heart. And the third kind, which he mentions in his tafsir khaza'in al-irfan, is bil jawarih, meaning through one's body parts or physically. Dhikr lisani, this includes tasbih, taqdees, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing hamd, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning tasbih and fana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which also includes asking for forgiveness, repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through tongue, or making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these are forms of dhikr which are under the definition of lisani dhikr, dhikr through a tongue. And the second kind is dhikr qalbi, and that is the kind of dhikr which is done through one's heart, which includes remembering the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering the azmat and kibriyai of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted status of Rabb ta'ala azza wa jal, and then pondering, reflecting upon the dalail and the reasons and the proofs of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this includes under the definition of dhikr qalbi. As far as dhikr bil jawari is concerned, it is that form of dhikr where one's body parts and physical worship is just like Hajj, going towards Hajj. This is under dhikr bil jawarih. Whereas Salah is such a beautiful form of ibadah which includes all these forms, subhanallah, tasbih, takbir, thana, tiraat. All these are forms of dhikr lisani which are done in Salah. And khushu and khudu, focus and concentration within Salah, subhanallah, ikhlas, sincerity, that is also something related with one's heart. It is also part of Salah, whereas Qiyam, Ruku and Sujood are forms of dhikr bil jawarih. So respected viewers of Madani Channel, we should try to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. We should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all different kinds. We should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our tongue. We should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our heart. And we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our body too. Inshallah, we will get blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salvation. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if we were saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possess the best of all manners, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Recite the Rushi upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, he is no doubt deserving of it, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Once it said that there was a person by the name of Zayd ibn Sun'a. Now, we heard about borrowing money. So once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he owed Hazrat Zayd ibn Sun'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He bought some dates from Hazrat Zayd ibn Sun'a radiallahu anhu, because this person later accepted Islam. Now, this Zayd ibn Sun'a, at this time, he was a rabbi. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam purchased some dates from him. And Zayd ibn Sun'a then later came and he said, disrespectfully, he pulled the cloak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, where's my money? Give me my money. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also present and they saw, you know, what it was that happened. Allahu Akbar. And he saw what had happened. And Hazrat Umar Farooq, he became angry and he says, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to, you know, deal with this person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turns to Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab and he says, what are you saying? I owe this person money. This person has requested, has asked for his money. You should be, you know, nicely reconciliating. Not, you know, saying that, you know, allow me to harm him. Zayd bin Sar'ah saw this. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, oh Umar, give this much money and go and give it to him, but give him a little extra too. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he takes his money. No doubt he is saddened the way Hazrat Zayd treated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or the way this Zayd, at this time he was a non-Muslim, the way this Zayd bin Sar'ah, the way he treated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by grabbing hold of him, disrespectful, and demanding his money in a disrespectful manner. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went, he got this money, and he brought it before Zayd ibn Sar'ah. Zayd ibn Sar'ah, he counts this money, he sees this money, and says, this is not how much he owed me. This is not what we agreed. You know, he's given me even more. He's given me even more than what he owed me. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he tells him that this was the reason. Because I acted in this manner, due to this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given you more money. Allahu Akbar. Really, just this is just like, wow, honestly. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him to give him this extra money. He's given him this extra money. He's like, this is extra. And he says, this is what I've been told to give you by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, subhanAllah, he says, do you know who I am? There's the Umar radiallahu anhu, says, you know, you don't look familiar. I'm not sure who you are. He says, I am Zayd ibn Sana'a. There's the Umar says, Zayd ibn Sana'a, the rabbi, the Jewish scholar? You're Zayd bin Sar'ah? He says, yes, I am. Hazrat Umar says, I'm amazed. Why did you, how could you treat the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that? Why is it that you, of all people, you're generally considered, you know, you have some sort of reputation. You're a reputable person. How could you treat the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a manner? And that person, he replies, and the answer he gives, honestly, it's so beautiful. He says that, oh Umar, the truth is that I was in search for the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah Ta'ala. The one in whom, even in our book, even in the Torah, we have been given an indication of the signs of the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And I was, you know, searching for these qualities in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I took a look at each quality. I saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does have this quality. Maybe he's the last and prophet messenger. And then another quality. And then, yes, he has this one too. I found every single quality. SubhanAllah. Every single quality, attribute I would read about, I would find it within Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except for two things. I didn't see these. These are not some things you could just see so easily. I didn't see these two things. What are these two things? He says, the first is that his patience, the sabr, the patience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be such that it shall overcome ignorance. And the second, what's the second one? The second is that his patience will increase even when a person increases the ignorance. Allahu Akbar. There's two things. One thing is having patience. Yes, no doubt you can see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was patient. But then his patience shall overcome ignorance. One thing. Secondly, when somebody is even harsher to him, when somebody acts in even more of an ignorant manner towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is even more patient. Allahu Akbar. And he views of Allah, he says, So I had to test Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I had to, you know, be even harder on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for me to see that these qualities which are mentioned in our book, does he have them? And he says that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today I have seen that he possesses these qualities too. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. He says that every single, it was just these two qualities left. Even these two I have found to be in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I bear witness that he is truly the prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he views him, inshallah, Allahu Akbar, really, the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unprecedented, unique, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. This is our prophet. Yes, we are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we should be proud. Alhamdulillah, yes, alhamdulillah, we follow the greatest of all mankind. He who had the best of manners. People teach manners in this day and age, nothing in comparison with that what Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam had taught us. My dear viewers, we are going to move to the daily hadith sharif, and then we shall continue inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Every one of us desires to be close to our Lord Allah Azza wa Jal. One beautiful method that we must adopt in order to attain this proximity, closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, is to offer our salah. Because we are told that this is that thing which defines a believer. This is what distinguishes a believer and a non-believer. And the Prophet ﷺ performed salah throughout his life. Whenever he faced any concern or worry, he would turn towards salah. And in the Quran we're told as well, إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help through patience and prayer. But the prayer has so many other benefits as well. We are human beings and we sin frequently. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and grant us tawfiq to repent often. In one hadith we're told that when you offer salah, your sins are forgiven. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and is found in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the companions, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهْرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَخْتَسِلُ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ خَمْسًا. If there was a stream or a river at the door of your house and you performed ghusl in that river, that water, 5 times a day, هَلْ يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٌ. Would there be any dirt left on your body? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in replied, La yabqa min daranihi shay'un. No, no such filth, no such dirt will be left, because he's constantly bathing in it 5 times a day. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ. That is the example of the 5 prayers. Meaning the 5 prayers are exactly like that. The 5 daily prayers are exactly like that. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ الْخَطَايَا. By means of the 5 daily prayers, a person's sins are wiped out. Those 5 daily prayers, Allah Ta'ala, by means of you offering them, will wipe out your sins. So this is the benefit of offering salah. Your sins are forgiven. And we are in need of offering our 5 daily salah to obtain such blessings. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who are steadfast and consistent in offering salah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Mashallahu azza wa jalla, that was our respected Hafiz Kaleem Madri sahib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. MashaAllah, the daily hadith sharif. My viewers, inshallah, we have a guest who has joined us. Alhamdulillah, this is none other than our respected Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shubazmi, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How are you, Hafiz Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
MashaAllah. Hafiz sahab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, mashaAllah. The manners of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, the etiquettes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz sahab, what people do is they think, oh yes, in the Western world, you know, we're taught this. And in fact, in some ways it's quite true, but it's quite sad too. That is because of distance from our religion, isn't it? That, you know, we think that, yes, in Western culture, there's more good manners. And in Eastern culture, we don't have that. What do you have to say about this?
I think it's the opposite way, you know, the opposite round. Because, alhamdulillah, Azawajal, Islam teaches us manners. Where we've learned all these manners are from the Quran and the Sunnah. And I was talking to one of the Muballighs, and we were talking about manners and etiquettes of, you know, parents. And one of the you know, things that they told us was that do not walk in front of your parents. And when you are sat down, do not have your feet towards your parents. So these are no doubt, alhamdulillah, Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us these etiquettes and these manners. Now, if you can, if you can't give respect to your parents, then who are you going to respect? In Islam, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do we find all these manners and etiquettes?
But how could the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam respect his parents when he never saw his own father, meaning when his father was alive, and his own mother passed away at the age of 6?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought up by Sayyida Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and it says in the books here that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see her, he would stand up in respect, he would make her sit on his throne or on the minbar, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give love and respect to her. And this is exactly what we need to do. You know, if you want your children to be obedient, then no doubt the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we need to act upon. You know, we were talking to one of the brothers, and he says, you know, how can I make my children respect me? And I goes, look, you've got to teach them that respect. You know, so if you are living with your parents and they see their grandparents every day, do you kiss your parents' hands when they look at their grandparents? That's where you learn from. But if you don't live with your parents, then what you need to do is you need to tell your children, look, this is the article, the manners of respecting your parents as well. And you know, like children, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, famously, you know, whenever Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha would come back home, or he would go and visit the home of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, he would kiss her on the forehead. So this is manners and etiquette, not only for parents, but for children as well. And that's what you learn in Islam. And many, many, there's loads of things, you know, even if you take it, Islam is not just a weekend religion. Islam is not a religion where on a Friday we all get together and read Jummah. Islam is an everyday religion. And there are so many sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we try to act upon them and we try to imitate them.
And this is the beauty, isn't it, Hafsa, that sometimes we think, you know, and sometimes people think that the, you know, when imperialism was at its peak, so these, I won't mention any particular country or entity, but they would go to other poorer countries, or they would conquer other countries in some way, and they claim to have brought civilization to those places. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was truly the one who brought true civilization, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, to the world. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were completely perfect, weren't they? Alhamdulillah azza wa jal. And in fact, nowadays we find, and this is the beauty of it, that alhamdulillah as Muslim, in fact, but there's another problem, Hafsa, is that, you know, many Muslims are show bad character too, bad manners too. Well, what can we say about that?
The thing is, Shabazz, you'll find bad apples everywhere, won't you? You know, you'll find you know, people who don't act upon the deen in everywhere. And it's a sad state, because people will start to label the Muslims by looking at these people. Just like we see today, sadly, you know, the name Islam has been hijacked by a few people. But now today, you know, people will label Muslims, you know, as bad people and all these kind of things. But alhamdulillah, azawajal, in Islam, we are not taught that way. We're taught about love. And, you know, even warfare, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go, he would teach the sahaba-i-kiram. And then especially when the sahaba-i-kiram would go to propagate the deen, you know, for neki kitabat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell them, you know, what they need to do. You know, just like visiting someone's home, don't peep through people's homes. You know, who teaches you that? And especially, you know, love and respect for parents. We've never been taught that in the college and universities. That was, alhamdulillah, when we came into the mahal of Dawat-e-Islami and we learned about the sunnahs. That's when you start to learn, that, you know, Allahu Akbar, parents of these, right? You know, famous verse in the Quran, وَقَدَا رَبُّكَ لَا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Respect and love for parents. Alhamdulillah, it is the University of Islam that teaches you love and respect for parents. And I would certainly say to the parents that if you really want your children to love and respect you, then make sure that you teach them the deen. And don't teach them, you know, make them go away from the deen, you know, make them act upon the deen, and inshallah, you'll have an easy life as well.
MashaAllah, Azzajal. Please do keep us in your du'as. Hafsa, jazakallahu khairah for your time. May Allah Ta'ala reward you, except. But if you were with us, MashaAllah, that was our respected Hafiz Rifaqat Sahib. Alhamdulillah, we have this segment known as the Wonders of the Quran. So let's take a look at that, inshallah, Azzajal. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, today we will be listening to an extract from the Quran, which is narrated in part 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat 247 to 249. It is about a king that Allah Azza wa Jal had chosen, and the people of that kingdom were not happy about it. In Bani Israel, they had a system of government that used to run in such a way that there would always be a king among them who would operate the administrative matters of the country. And then there would be a Nabi who would use to guide the people about the laws of Sharia and religious rulings. It had been established since long that the kingdom would be from the lineage of Ya'hud bin Ya'qub radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the prophethood would always be from the lineage of Lawai bin Ya'qub radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Sayyidina Shamwil alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with prophethood, there was no king at that time. And the people of Bani Israel requested him to appoint someone as a king for them. Then the following commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal, Sayyidina Shamwil alayhi salam appointed Talut as the king, who was highly scholarly among the Bani Israel and had very strong built, but he was very poor. For his living, he either used to tan leather or herd goats. Due to this, the Bani Israel raised objections that Talut is not from the royal family, so how he can be their king? They were more deserving of kingship as they belonged to the royal family. Since Talut didn't possess any wealth, how can a poor person deserve the royal throne? In reply to these objectives raised by Bani Israel, Sayyidina Shamwil alayhi salam delivered the following Quranic sermon. Translation, Kanzul Iman. He, the Prophet, said, Allah has chosen him over you and has bestowed upon him enormous knowledge and physique. And Allah Azza wa Jal may bestow his kingdom on whoever he wills. And Allah is all encompassing, all knowing. And the Prophet said to them, indeed the sign of his kingdom will be coming of a wooden box to you, containing the witch of contentment of hearts from your Lord. Therefore, after a short while, four angels came with a box and placed it near Sayyidina Shamwil alayhi salam. Seeing this, the Bani Israel accepted the kingship of Talut. After becoming king, Talut did not only take control of the government system of the country, but he also recruited new military personnel and went for jihad against the pagans of the Amalika tribe. Allah Azza wa Jal has described this event in the Holy Quran as, and their Prophet said to them, indeed Allah has sent Talut as your king. They said, why should he have kingship over us and we deserve kingship more than him? And nor he has been given ample wealth. He, the Prophet, said, Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen him over you and has bestowed upon him enormous knowledge and physique. And Allah may bestow His kingdom on whoever He wills. And Allah Azza wa Jal is all-compassing, all-knowing. And the Prophet said to them, indeed the sign of His kingdom will be the coming of a wooden box to you, containing that which is the containment of hearts from your Lord. Some relics left behind the honored Musa and the honored Harun alayhi salam, carried by angels. Indeed, it is a great sign for you if you believe. The moral of this story is, this event provides several pearls of guidance. One clear lesson that we learn from this is that there are no limits to the favors and the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if He wills it, He Azza wa Jal can make the most inferior of people the most rich within no time. You see, Sayyiduna Talut radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a man with weak social status and was so poor that he used to earn his livelihood either by tanning leather or by herding goats. But in an instant, Allah Azza wa Jal made him an autonomous king. The second point that we learn from this and the text from the above ayahs of the Holy Quran, we come to know that for kingship, physical strength and profound knowledge are the most important. As without physical capabilities and knowledge, it is impossible to operate the administrative matters of the kingdom. Thus, we come to know what worth of knowledge is far greater than of wealth. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, the monthly magazine of Dawat-e-Islami, Allahu Akbar, let's go to the next, I think, chapter if you wish to call it, or the next part. Now, this part is known as the greatest trader. It is written by Sayyid Awais Asad Ali. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for writing this beautiful piece. So within this magazine, and the purpose of this magazine is for you to get a taste of it, inshallah azza wa jal. My dear viewers of Manchal, you should also be able to take a look on screen. And this is something which I know I say this nearly every day, but just look at the what should I say? The quality is beautiful. The pictures is very colorful, very attractive. And just by looking at it, you think, oh wow, I really do wish to read this. So bring these magazines, inshallah, purchase them. You can order them on you can subscribe, which will mean that it will be delivered to your own house, to your own door, within the first few days of every single new month, inshallah azza wa jal. So please do subscribe. This is annually, or you can even just go to the local Maktabat al-Madina and just purchase it, inshallah azza wa jal. And honestly, you know, what we've been reading so far, I myself have really enjoyed it. And I hope you have too, inshallah azza wa jal. So look at the various topics. Today, we're speaking about the trader. The greatest trader of all time. Now, inshallah, I'm going to be reading from this. Trade plays a vital role in human life. It has a leading role in the economy of every society. No one can live on their own in any society, as everyone has to perform many things collectively. And trade is one of these many things. Islam, which is a complete code of life, has given great importance to it and provided crystal clear instructions about it. Directly or indirectly, trade is related to many aspects of human life. A country can make tremendous progress if its traders and trading centers are fair and follow the principles of Islam. Trade has been playing a significant role in both individual and the collective life from the ancient times. The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam himself was a trader. Trading was the means of livelihood of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made many trade journeys in childhood to Syria, Basra, and Yemen. He, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, did trade and business so honestly, truthfully, and justly
that even his own very own business partners and all other traders began to call him Al-Amin, the trustworthy. Honesty, truthfulness, fulfillment of promises, and good manners are the lifeblood of trade and are essential for a successful trader. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had all of these qualities. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam has set excellent examples in the entire history. A blessed companion, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abi al-Hamsa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that before he sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first revelation and he declared his prophethood, he says, I made a trade deal with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I made a part payment and promised Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I would come back shortly and I'll pay the rest of the amount. By chance, I forgot my promise. After 3 days, when I reached the place where I had promised to come, I found him sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing and waiting. I could not keep my promise, but he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mind at all. All he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was, where have you been? I have been waiting for you here for 3 days. Similarly, when Hazrat Sayyidina Su'aib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, embraced Islam and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people began to praise Hazrat Su'aib. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you do not know him as much as I know him. Hazrat Sayyidina Sa'ib radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, may my parents be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have spoken the truth. Before the declaration of prophethood, you were my trading partner. You were very nice to me and you never quarreled with me. Allahu Akbar, what a business partner to have, eh? The greatest of all traders, the greatest of all mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanAllah, just led, who I never knew that before, who was a trading partner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Sa'ib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanAllah. It continues, it states, that as we know that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before receiving the divine revelation, he would trade. At the age of 25, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was widely known as a trustworthy and truthful individual. Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha was a very wealthy woman in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Her husband had already died. She radiallahu anha needed a trustworthy person to take care of her trade goods in Syria. She radiallahu ta'ala anha was so impressed by the truthfulness and trustworthiness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she chose him and sent him a message offering him double the wage. Double the wage, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, due to his honesty and sincerity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted her offer and he began to trade on her behalf in Syria. She radhiyallahu ta'ala anha also sent one of her slaves, Maysara, so that he would serve the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the journey. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Syria, sold the goods, bought new goods, and then returned to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it in such a fair way that she was completely amazed. She radhiyallahu ta'ala anha sold those goods and earned double the profit. And that's when she radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was so surprised and amazed by his phenomenal character, his manners, that she wished to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are a few points I would wish to say. Some for those people who trade, some words from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That it's said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the purest food is that which you eat from your own earnings. Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari has narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said there are three types of people whom Allah subhanahu wa taala will not speak. Nor will he, Azza wa Jal, see them with mercy. And nor will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify them. In fact, there is severe punishment for them. Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu then said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this three times. So I said to these people that these people would be ruined. Who are they? The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who lays down his lower garment below his ankles, the one boasting of the favor that he did for somebody else. And thirdly, the one selling his good by swearing a false oath. Al Salim Ali goes, many people when they sell things, they say, this is the best, or this is good, this is worth it, this is perfect, there's no problem with it, this has been through this, this is from this and such place. Many people swear so many false oaths when trying to sell things. They said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not shower His mercy upon them. Rather, they will be punished. This is one of those people. Madivi was, honestly, this is beautiful. This magazine, please do purchase it, inshallah, so you can read, because I'm not able to read the full thing, only a small amount. But inshallah, if you do purchase it, you will be able to read it fully, inshallah, just a bit at a time, as we are doing daily, inshallah. And there's so much useful, interesting, brilliant, alhamdulillah, information within that, and send so many salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, because he is the greatest of all mankind. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Many viewers, inshallah, we shall be returning for more Rise and Shine. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.